Last time we spoke about how there are Purim and the Megillah, there's all these twos, 2 days of Purim, and two heroes, Mordechai and Esther. Why is that? So the Gemara brings in Megillah. Why was there a gzeira against the Jews, Lahashmid, Laharugul Abed, that Rahman al-San, the entire Jewish people were in danger of being destroyed? There had to be a reason in Shemayim. Haman could not successfully come out with a decree unless he had backing in Shemayim. Haman himself knew that. So the Gemara brings, there are two averis. One, years earlier in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed down to Tselem. Nebuchadnezzar had set up a certain idol, and he did not declare it an Avodah Zarah per se, meaning it wasn't Mamish Avodah Zarah, but he ordered everyone had to bow to it to show your subservience to the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Jews bowed down to it, and it was a Chil Hashem, because bowing down to it, Tselem, even if it's not Mamish Avodah Zarah, is a Chil Hashem. And furthermore, they were showing that they were placing the fear of a person, of a human being, in that case Nebuchadnezzar, over the fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was the Aveira. That was the first Aveira. The second Aveira was Shenan Misudasa Shalois Rasha. Achashverosh, when he made his Sudais, so that was for all the Jews of Shushan, the second group of parties, the 7-day party. He invited all the Jews of Shushan, and Mordechai had told them not to go. We'll see, I'll explain why in a moment. And they went, and they were Nene. Now, what was the problem going to the Sudais? Isn't it El Shalom Malchus, covered Malchus? So there's a Medrash that Haman was plotting to destroy the Jews for a long time already. But this is before he became the prime minister. But Achashverosh told them, drop the plans. Because everyone who's ever attempted to destroy the Jews, he was made history himself. Paro, Sisera, and Achashverosh did not want to join that club. But Haman's trying, he's trying to convince him day in, day out. Finally, Haman comes up with a plan. Achashverosh, if you make a party and you have all the people of Shushan come, including all the Jews, and you have women who are not dressed but sneeze, attend these feasts, it will promote Hirhurim Royim. Yidden will have bad thoughts, and that will cause a kitrig against them in the Shemayim, and then we'll be able to make a gzeir against them. The Kachava, the Medrash explains, the Jews will miskalkel, 18,500 Jews attended those suitors of Achashverosh.
18,000?
18,500.
That's relatively, wasn't so much Kachava saw those days, right?
It was the Jews of Shushan.
The Jews of Shushan.
Oh yeah, it's clear that only the Jews of Shushan were guilty of the second Aveira.
And also, another thing is, when they would not go to the Sudas of Achashverosh, they would not get into Xero just by that?
By the first one?
Because Achashverosh said, just specifically, he said, everyone from all my country in the Sudas of Shushan has to come. That was his whole thing. So
we'll see. It's mashma from Farshem that they had to listen to Mordechai the Daf Torah. He told Mordechai, he figured out the whole cheshbon here with Haman, and that's why he told the Jews Dafka not to go. They didn't listen to him. That just caused another Aveira, not only the Renetta from the Suda of Achashverosh, but also they didn't listen to Daf Torah. So Farshem caused that there should be two Sadiqim on the scene, Mordechai and Esther. Each one would focus on one of those sins. Mordechai, his job was to focus on the first sin, Shtachlu L'Tselem, So Mordechai, that's why we'll see that Haman, he wants everyone to bow to him. Mordechai, lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Regarding the Aveira of being netted from the suit of Achashverosh, so that would be Esther's job to be misakin, and that's how she was misakin it. That's exactly what we're going to see in the next couple of psukim. She had to be misakin both the fact that they were netted from the suda and that they didn't listen to Das Torah. So the pasuk tells us, Ishi Yoyi B'Shushan Avira Shmoy Mordechai Ben Yoyi Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ishimini. It's clear from the Gemara and Megillah that Mordechai was not the greatest gadol of that time in Torah. He was fourth, a fifth. So why would the Rabbanu Shalom choose Mordechai to engineer the Yeshua? Because the one thing Mordechai did excel in more than anyone else was in tefillah. And this gzeira can only be broken through tefillah. Why is that? We said before that they bowed down to the tzelem, which means they placed the fear of Basar B'dam ahead of fear of God. So now they had to be misakinin by relying only on their Ribbono Shel. They're not going to make any type of hishtadlus. They're not going to try to petition the king. In fact, one of the reasons the Gemara says why Esther invited Haman to the banquets that she's going to make is that she didn't want Yisrael to say, oh, we have our sister, the queen, she'll take care of us, everything's in the bag. Esther says, yeah, I'm inviting Dafka Haman. Now the Jews are going to think, you know, she's so desperate, she's Chas V'Shalom, she's cutting a deal to save her own skin, and Oy Vey, we're in deeper trouble. So now they have to rely more on the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is exactly what they needed to do. So the Gemara in Megillah, it says Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. What are those three terms? Ben Yair Sheheir Einayim Shal Yisrael b'Tefillah. So he illuminated Yin's eyes with his tefillah. Shimi is Sheshom Akel Tefillah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam heard his tefillah. And Kish is Shehekish Hikish Al Shari Shemayim Niftachlo. He knocked on the doors of Shemayim and Shari Rachmim, and they were open for him. So these are merames to Mordechai's excellence in tefillah. Now, Achashverosh already listens to the advice of his Nari Melech Mesharsav. And all of the beautiful women of the entire kingdom. Yeah.
What was Shimi and Kish?
Shimi Sheshomakel and Hikish knocked on the doors of Shari Racham and Niftakulo. So tomorrow, Mar Megillah. I'll look it up. Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So all the women of the are brought before the king, and Esther is very uncooperative. She has to be forced. The Megillah makes note that Fitzilokach Esther, which means she had to be taken forcibly. She's not cooperating in any way. But once she's taken, so Mordechai realizes something's going on here. This tzaddikus Esther, he knew who Esther was. She's being taken to the king Achashverosh, and this is so strange. I mean, just to think of what would happen nowadays if, like, the biggest rebbes and tzaddikus were taken, you know, to be with the king. It's preposterous. So Mordechai realizes this is min hashamayim. So that's why it says that while Esther was in the king's Beis HaNoshim, so he remains outside the Beis HaNoshim to check on Esther's welfare, because he felt an achrayus for a pashut. He was afraid of two things. One, because she's being so obstinate that, you know, they might punish her. But there's another thing. A tzaddik does not accept toiva from a rasha, because the toiva of a rasha is considered filthy for a tzaddik. So he's not interested in accepting any favors. So Mordechai knows that Esther is going to be still all these favors of the Beis Hanoshim, and he's afraid she's pushing and going to get ill. And we'll see Mordechai, his fears are borne out later. So that's why, another reason why he's checking on her welfare. Okay. Meanwhile, Mordechai instructs Esther beforehand, don't tell anything about your background, because he was afraid that perhaps if they find out she's Jewish, that she's Jewish, and they're going to have tainus, look, this Jewish woman is making such a scene about not coming to the king. So obviously the Jews, there must be something wrong with these Jews. So Mordechai tells Esther, don't tell her you're Jewish. Don't tell them you're Jewish. However, what happens? There's somebody there named Haggai. This guy Haggai is in charge of all the women over there. And he sees Esther, and he decides for himself, wow, that's the next queen. He figured out that she's the next queen. So he does her all the special favors that he didn't do to any of the other women. He gave her the best quarters. He gave her 7 special attendants, which are usually used to attend the queen herself. He was so convinced that Esther was going to be the next queen, he was afraid that if he didn't treat Esther nicely now, then when she does become queen, she's going to say, hey guy, come here for a second. I have some tainas on you I want to discuss with you. And all of a sudden, it's off with that guy's head. So he's giving her the finest treatment. And what does the pasuk say? Pasuk Tes says that Haggai is giving you the best of treatment. What does it say right afterwards? Pasuk Yud, Lo Yigid Esther Samavis Mulatato. So there's two things here that we mentioned, that Esther is supposed to be misak in the sin of not attend, of that they went to the suit of a voice of Russia. So that's why she has to concentrate on not accepting any hatovis from Haggai, not from Achashverosh, not from anyone. And furthermore, she has to be misak in that which the Jews didn't listen to Das Torah. So even though now she's being treated royally by Haggai, and you might think, well, maybe Das Torah is wrong. What was Mordechai worried about? That they're going to incriminate all the Jews, because look at how this Jewish woman was being so uncooperative. But look, they're treating me so nicely. So maybe I don't have to be so machbid. I can tell them, yeah, I'm Jewish, and they'll be nice to all the Jews. No, she's mevatel herself to Das Torah. That's why the pasuk says right afterwards, Lo yigid Esther, Asamas umolad, Tiki Mordechai, Tziv olash shloi sagin. So finally comes Esther's turn to be with the king, and Achashverosh sees her as his new Vashti. Remember, he was depressed when he remembered Vashti. The moment he sees Esther, and he forgets about Vashti. This is my new queen, and he's no longer depressed. He ends the contest immediately and he selects Esther as his new queen. But Esther is still not revealing anything about herself. Unbelievable. What if I tell my Das Torah said? Just picture this kind of scene. She was just made the queen of the whole world. Yes, Esther, what nation are you from? I want to do so many favors to your nation. Won't say. Defies the king. Unbelievable. See this godless, this gavur of Esther's part? That's what we call the optimum in listening to Das Torah. And he gives tax breaks to the whole world, because he so wants to do something nice for Esther. So he gives tax breaks to the whole world. That way, whoever nation she's from will benefit from it. And he gives out special gifts. He makes a special feast. Esther's not being dissuaded. She's not accepting any of these hatovis from Achashverosh, because she knows that's her tikkun here. She has to be misaken for Christ, helping Nana, the Isser. Now she's rejecting all hanos. And not only that, but it says in Pasuk Chaf, Es Maimer Mordechai Esther Oisek Asher Hoisek Bomlitoi. Which means she was keeping every from the chumrah that she, that Mordechai instructed her in, she was keeping them in Achashverosh's palace. The Gemara says that she was showing dam nida lechachamim. While she's the queen, she's still being noig all aspects of her Jewish lifestyle. Now, Achashverosh is so infatuated with Esther that he's being with her all the time, very often, and it's Chodesh Tevis, the Pasuk says. So there are two watchmen named Bigson Vesera, Shomer Asaf, and they have to be kept up all night because Achashverosh is continually asking them, bring me a drink of water, I'm thirsty, because of all the times he was with Esther. And they plot to poison Achashverosh, and they speak about their plot in front of Mordechai in a foreign language. Torsi, the Gemara says, they figure no one's going to understand them, but Mordechai is a member of the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin has to be well versed in all 70 languages. Mordechai finds out about the plot. He tells Esther, who tells Mordechai b'shei, who tells Achashverosh b'shei Mordechai. The Gemara learns from this, because Esther made a point of reporting this in the name of Mordechai. So it was written down in the diary of the king that Mordechai was the one who saved the king, and later on, at the right moment, he's going to recall this, and Mordechai is going to be rewarded. That's going to be the start of the Geula. Then we come to Perek Gimel. Why did Achashverosh exactly promote Haman? Because he loved Esther so much, he decided he's going to reward the one whose idea it was to get rid of Vashti and pave the way for us to become queen. As we saw earlier, Mamuchan, that's Haman, was the one who said, gave him the power now to judge matters that pertain to the king directly. And that led to his being able to get rid of Vashti. And he ended up marrying Esther, so he gave Haman special status. This is unbelievable because Esther's Jewish and Haman hates Jews. This is what the Goyim type. His peerage is based on the fact that Achashverosh all the while doesn't know that Haman's after the Jews. That's what the Goyim is going to say.
He didn't know Esther was Jewish either.
Right, because Mordechai was a doctor to tell Esther not to tell Achashverosh where you're from.
Achashverosh didn't know that Haman was after the Jews.
Nope.
That's but he himself was also after the Jews.
True. So but the guy is going in the opinion, not necessarily. Not totally. Not
is there a way to say the whole story in either Mel Kippish or Mel Chacham, where it switches?
That machlokes pertains specifically to the order.
Order of how he invited him.
Right.
And not on his whole fashion of how he ran his kingdom. It's not a clueless thing about it.
You could say he was a little of both. He was very astute. He was very astute politically. That's why he bothered marrying Vashti in the first place. Haman, as we saw, was a barber, and he also has his complex. He's starving for gaiva. That's why he orders, he gets the king to allow everyone in the Chatzar Beis HaMelech has to bow down to Haman. Avraham Mordechai lo yichrav liyishtachaveh, because Haman had affixed an idol to himself. Mordechai saw it and he wouldn't bow down. Remember, Brevda says that Haman himself made himself into an avodah zarah. Either way, Mordechai refuses to bow down. The pasuk makes note that lo yichre v'lo yishtachaveh. That's lashon asid. That means Mordechai would make a point while he was in the Chatzar Beis HaMelech, where you had to bow down to Haman. He would see Haman coming down. He would run to a position where he knew Haman was about to pass, in order dafka not to bow. Lo yichre ishtachle. That's lashon asid. And it gets even better.
Did he put himself in a fascist? Could he get killed for that?
Mordechai knew that Mesiris Nefesh was warranted to be misakin for the Chatoim. It says then that the Avdei HaMelech were obviously annoyed. They had to bow to Haman, and why does Mordechai not have to? So first they approach Mordechai, well, what's the business? What's the big idea? Why don't you have to bow down? Mordechai didn't listen to them. So they go to Haman and they tell him, Mordechai's not bowing down to you. Big question. And Haman couldn't figure that out for himself. Didn't Haman see clearly Mordechai's not bowing? So the answer is, the guy says, that's the nature of a Baal Gaiva. Haman was not going through the Chatzar Beis HaMelech like this, with his eyes, making sure that everyone is bound down in front of it. He's going like this, like Kilo and Nebuchadnezzar. His eyes are averted because I don't even realize that people are bowing down to me. This is the emistic of the Baal Gaiva, you understand? Through the corner of his eyes, oh good, they're bowing down to me, but he has to show himself Kilo. He doesn't really want the Gaiva. And that's why Bemis didn't notice Mordechai. And the anti-Semites, if they didn't tattle on Mordechai, Haman Grata would never have known about it. So, they tell Haman, and Haman says, really? Mordechai's not bowing down to me? So it says, Vayar Haman king, Mordechai kairei mishtach v'loi, v'yimoli Haman chemo. Haman goes right to Mordechai to see for himself, and sees that he makes sure that Mordechai sees him, and that he's still not bowing down to him. And then Haman has a fit. So what does Haman do? It's only an Amaleki anti-Semite could do. This one Jew is not bowing down to me. I'm destroying the whole Jewish nation. So he makes a lot. Amalekim were Bekim in astrology. Looking at Rebbe Sev and Kimu Kiblu shows that also when Amalek first attacked Klal Yisrael, they were using astrology in their favor to see at what time of day they could defeat the Jews. So Haman is using his knowledge of astrology to figure out when is the best date to wipe out the Jews. He knows that the rule is Ein Mazel Yisrael. Right, Hashem told Avram. Same in that Segninus Shelcha, Medrash is over there, that there's Ein Mazel Yisrael, even though the stars, as it were, predicted that Avram, meaning before he changed his name, Einoi Moilid, Avraham Moilid, I'll change your name and Avraham is Moilid. From that came forth the rule that Jews are not governed by the stars. They're above the stars. But the Rebbe Shem did program the stars in a way that they do have an influence on the world. People don't realize that. They think today's astrologers, they don't know what they're talking about, and astrology is false. In truth, astrology does tell us something, just we perhaps don't know today what. But there is, it is an emistic yesod. Haman determined that the best day was the 13th of Adar. And the Pasuk says, Hu hagoyrol lifnei Haman. Pasuk Zion. Why lifnei Haman? Because as we just said, it was not, there was no point in trying to figure out when the best time, when the worst time for the Jews is, because Ein Mazal Yisrael. So instead he went with a different approach. When is the best time for Amalek? When is their Mazal going to be strongest? That's who Agaru Lefnei Haman. That's the Diuk. And he determined that the best time was the 13th of Adar. And guess what, Rabbi Sai? He was right. The 13th of Adar, Chas V'Shalom, would have been the day he would have successfully destroyed the Jews. But what is the Rabbanu Shalom going to do? This is going to be the biggest nest. Ask a question. What do we call this Yontif Purim, or Shem HaPur, as the Pasuk will say later? What's the whole big deal of the poor, that which we call the whole Yontif Purim? Purim is actually Lashon Rabin. Lots. What's going on here? So the Gemara explains that when the Klal Yisrael did the proper tshuva to overturn the Gzeirah, the Rabbanu Shalom overturned the whole system of mazolois, so that Yud Gimel Adar is now Dafka, the worst day for Amalek, and really the best day for the Jews. It was the biggest net of the whole Purim. Nothing that we could possibly see, obviously. But the Rabbanu Shalom actually redesigned the world. Could you believe this? Because when he saw Christ was a proper tshuva, he actually reordered the whole structure of mazolos in a way that Yud Gimel Adar is now the best day for the Jews, the worst day for Amalek. In Asher Haney, which is that pismon we say after the nighttime kriya, you'll see a line that says Ki Pur Haman Nepach Lepurenu. That's what it means. The Pur of Haman was changed into our advantage. That's why the Yontif is called Purim. Okay, let's pass the class. We'll stop here. That's right.